Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'll just turn to those next to you and say, this year I'm going to be like Enoch. Now there's a statement of faith, because you might not remember anything about Enoch. Enoch was the guy who just got taken up to heaven without dying. But that's not why you're going to be like Enoch this week or this year, unless the rapture happens, which case I hope you don't get left behind. You're going to be like Enoch because of why God just took him up to heaven. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll see what it says there about Enoch. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So you're going to be like Enoch this year, because you're going to live to please God. We'll try that again. You're going to live to please God. Now, if we look at the next verse, we'll see why he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the reason why Enoch pleased God, because he lived by faith. Now, people can say, I have faith. And I say, where have you got it? Does it itch? As you see, faith isn't something you have. Faith is something that you say and you do. Faith has to be expressed in action. So, we won't please God by just saying, I have faith. But our words and our actions will be words and actions of faith, and that will please the Lord. So let's look at the whole of that verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. Now, the NIV says that he exists. The Greek says that he is. And that's a bit different, because we don't just believe he exists. We believe he is who he is. Our faith is not just that God exists, but our faith is in who God is. Amen. We'll come to more of that in a moment. So anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, salvation is God's gift to us. We can't earn it, we don't deserve it, but God has given us salvation. But reward is the reward for what we have done. Jesus said that on the day of judgment, everyone will be rewarded for what he has done. We will receive salvation by grace, but we will be rewarded for what we have done. So, in other words, we will be rewarded for our faith. We will be rewarded for as much as we have pleased God by what we have said and done by faith. So, we can praise God that our salvation is through faith and his grace alone. But you see, Even salvation needed faith. And if you've been saved, you have faith. You don't have to doubt that. But God wants you to live as a saved person. Now, if we go back to the previous chapter, you'll see why this is so important. Verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, in brackets, in faith, so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. Now, what happened when God gave you salvation is that he made you righteous. He put you right in a right relationship with God. And it's one of the Old Testament prophets who said, the righteous will live by faith. And that's the Old Testament scripture quoted most often in the New Testament. The righteous will live by faith. So if we have been put right by God, then we will not only have faith, we will live by faith. And then there's a little warning after that. And if he shrinks back, if he shrinks back from living that life of faith, I will not be pleased with him. That's God speaking, you see. So when we don't live by faith, we don't please God. When we do live by faith, we please God. And when we please God, there is a great reward. Amen? For all the ways in which we pleased him, all the ways in which we have expressed our faith in him. Okay, now let's go to verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is not a lottery. There's been a lot in the press about lottery and people winning millions of pounds, but faith is not a lottery. Faith is sure and certain. Amen? If you're foolish enough to spend any money on the lottery, you will see that you are not sure and certain to get the prize. But when you live by faith, you are sure and certain that you will please God and that you will have a reward that is much better than winning the lottery, because it's an eternal reward. It would be possible for someone to live the lottery and go to hell for all eternity. But if you please the Lord, because you have allowed him to save you and you have lived by faith, then you're going to have an eternal reward. And eternity, if you can put it like this, eternity lasts a long time. I mean, eternity is forever. So actually, we are determining our destiny by the way in which we live by faith. So, in this chapter, a whole lot of people from the Old Testament are commended because of the way that they lived by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you go down to verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Now, that's the point. Do you remember Jesus taught a parable of the sower? And the sower went to sow forth the seed, which is the word of God. And the seed fell on different types of ground. It fell on the path, where, of course, it couldn't take root. So the birds of the air came and ate the seed. And when Jesus explained the parable to the disciples, he said, that represents the way that Satan comes and steals the word from the hearts of those who hear. Very interesting. You see that when the sower sows the seed, of the word, he always sows it into the heart, even of those who don't believe. Because Jesus said, Satan snatches it from the heart. So it's no use, you know, saying, oh, well, people can't really hear. Oh, yes, when God speaks his word, he speaks to the heart. But the enemy wants to steal the word from the heart. Doesn't want it to take root. Then Jesus said, the seed is sown on rocky soil. And that represents people who get all excited. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm saved, boom, 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 and all the rest. But there's no depth of root. They don't live by faith. So as soon as the heat of the sun comes, as soon as there's any difficulties, what started just withers, comes to nothing. Then Jesus said that the seed falls among thorns, weeds, thistles, that grow up along with the seed, but they choke the seed and prevent it from being unfruitful, prevent it from being fruitful. So, you know, those are people who don't persevere to the end. They're not living by faith when they die. Somewhere along the way, they've given up. Somewhere along the way, they've allowed, Jesus says, the cares of this world and the riches of this world to choke what was beginning to grow. But then Jesus says there's the good seed. The good soil. And there the seed is reproduced 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And in Luke's version, Jesus only mentions, or he only records 100 times. And when Jesus explains what that means, he says that those who bear the hundredfold fruit are those who hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. You see, what does it mean to live by faith? You hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. You hear, you believe, you speak what you believe, and do what you say. That's the life of faith. Hearing, because faith comes from hearing. You hear, you believe, and if you believe, you speak. As Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You speak, and then your actions are in line with what you say. We're not hypocrites who say one thing and do another. Hear, believe, speak, do. It's very easy, isn't it, to remember that? Not quite so easy to do it, but it's easy to know what to do. Now, faith actually is easy. Faith is very, very simple. God has deliberately made it simple. So the simplest of beings, like ourselves, I'm a simple soul, I can live by faith. Let me just demonstrate faith to you. Faith is as easy as sitting on a chair. You see, I was not like some Christians who, before I sat down, thought, I better pray over this chair. Oh, chair, what a wonderful chair. Lord, I thank you for this chair. Lord, this is such a great chair. I believe, Lord, that if I was to sit on this chair, it would support my weight. Oh, Lord, I really believe it. I'm going to put my trust in you. Lord, I'm going to trust you now. I'm going to trust you now. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, you see, people pray like that about some things, don't they? And if they pray like that, you know one thing is sure, they do not believe about that for which they're praying. But if I mean, when you came in here, you didn't even have to think about whether that chair was going to support your weight. You believed it. Right. Now, if I was to say to you, is Jesus Christ Lord? You would say,
yes.
Why? Because you know he is Lord. When you came through the door, you didn't think, this morning I've got to believe that Jesus is Lord. No, because you see, faith is being sure and certain. You're sure and certain that he is Lord. So, just like you have got a true assumption that this chair will support your weight, so if you believe that Jesus is your Lord, you have got a very safe assumption that he will be with you always. He will care for you always. You will never be without him, never outside of his presence. He knows everything about you. He knows all that goes on in your life. He cares so much about you in his love that he even knows how many hairs are on your head this morning. And I can't think of anything that is more useless to know, really, than how many hairs are on your head. But if he knows that, he must know everything that's more important. And why does he know everything about you? Not to keep a check on you. I'm going to keep my beady eye on them to see if they sin or what they do. No. God's not like that. To say that God loves you, remember, there's a very special word in Scripture for love, this agape love. That agape love means that he seeks your highest good. The agape love is seeking the highest good. So the Scripture says God loved the world and sent his Son. Why? Because he wanted the highest good for his people. To save them from their sin, to save them from the judgment and punishment that they deserve, and to make it possible for them to receive the gift of eternal life. Seeking the highest good. Now, Jesus calls us all to be disciples. And the sad thing about the modern church is that Christians have really reduced the level of discipleship, so it's almost unrecognizable when you compare it with what Jesus was talking about. But there is a movement that is beginning now of reformation where God is restoring his people back to being the kind of disciples that will please him. People that live by faith and express his kingdom life in their lives. Hallelujah. I'm going up to London this week to make some programs for Premier Radio all about this reformation that God is doing. And I did one last week for UCB, and one's coming, a program's coming out on Revelation Television in a few weeks. So there's getting more and more publicity for what God is wanting to do, so that really we please God, not only individually, but as his church. That every congregation, God wants to be pleasing him because they're congregations that live by faith. And, you know, I've had people say to me, oh, I wouldn't go to a faith church. So I say to them, oh, you want to go to a sin church? And I say, what do you mean? I say, well, the Bible says that all that is not of faith is sin. So if you don't belong to a faith church, you belong to a sin church. Hello? This is a faith church.
Amen.
It's called Kingdom Faith Church. Because we have the faith of a kingdom people. Faith in the King. And therefore, what God wants is to see the lifestyle of the kingdom in our lives. And that lifestyle is based upon faith, because it's only the lifestyle of the kingdom that will really please God, And therefore, it has to be a life of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, the first thing that we learn then is to listen to God and to refuse to listen to the devil. You see, the devil is absolutely opposed to God and therefore is opposed to the truth and therefore is opposed to anybody living by faith in Jesus, in God, in His Word. And there are certain things that undermine that faith. The first of these, very common in modern life, modern society, is our reason. Now, our reason is our natural thinking. Everybody who is created, all the people out there in Worthing, they all are able to reason. They all have their own thoughts and their own opinions. Shall I tell you what God thinks about your opinions? He's very glad that when you die, they'll die with you. Because He cares nothing for your opinions. What matters are not your opinions, but His Word. Not what you think, but what He says. So our thinking has to come in line with God's thinking. So when we're saved, the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. But you also have your natural mind, which is why you can still think thoughts that definitely have not come from Jesus Christ. Have you noticed? Those angry thoughts, jealous thoughts, perhaps unclean thoughts, unforgiving thoughts, judgmental thoughts. None of those came from the Lord. That's from your natural mind. But because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have the mind of Christ. And so it's always a matter, if we're going to live by faith, are we going to listen to the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, reminds us, brings to mind everything that Jesus has said. So the Holy Spirit lives within us to remind us what Jesus says. And then we've got our natural thinking. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself. And that means we have to deny our natural thinking when it conflicts with what the Word of God says and what the mind of Christ says. And we don't want to be double-minded, because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and cannot expect to receive anything from God. So we want to submit our thinking to God's thinking. So it's important when we pray that we know what God is thinking about what we're praying for. You know, you can pray with great sincerity, but you might be praying in the wrong way, asking God to do the wrong things. So we're told to pray at all times in the Spirit. That means when you start to pray, say, Holy Spirit, guide my prayer. Show me what it is I need to believe in this situation. Let me understand what it is that you want to do in this situation. And the Holy Spirit will show you. Because God wants you to pray effectively. So often people pray with real sincerity, but what they're praying is the wrong thing, and they're not therefore able to pray by faith. And so their prayers don't get answered, and then they get discouraged. And actually, God has been blessing them, because He wouldn't want to answer a wrong prayer. Because, you know, if the prayers are wrong, the outcome will be wrong. Are you there? But when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our prayer, then we can be absolutely sure that what we pray for is going to happen. Faith is being sure and certain of what we hope for, what we cannot see. So, that reason, that intellect, can get in the way of God. Have you noticed that very clever people find it difficult to become Christians? Why? Because they are proud, usually, of their intellect, but they depend upon their own thinking. And they're almost disdainful of people of faith. Oh, you still don't believe that nonsense, do you? You know, like, I'm too proud to believe in God. What they have in fact done, because everybody has a God. Did you know that? Everybody living on, even atheists have a God. Their God is unbelief. See? And for a lot of people, their God is their reason, is their intellect. So they follow the God of reason. They don't follow the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? Anybody at the same meeting that I'm at?
Yeah.
Okay. And you see, the second thing that really undermines or can undermine our life of faith are our feelings, our emotions. So many people, even Christians, live by their emotions. Now, your emotions are the most unreliable part of you. Because your feelings can change from one second to another. You can be feeling absolutely great and life is wonderful, then suddenly something happens and immediately you think, this is awful, why has this happened to me? Oh, see, your emotions change in response to what is happening until you become a person of faith. Then when you become a person of faith, you learn not to believe your emotional response to what happens, but to believe what God says. Because when you believe what He says, that will change your emotions. The way you think and feel about the situation. Are there any believers in the room? Now, you see, it's the most natural thing in the world to believe your feelings. People even think their feelings are the truth. But no, no, no. The feelings are just how they feel. The truth is what God says. Jesus says, I am the truth. He's not a feeling. He's the truth. So your feelings aren't the truth because your feelings change, but the truth can never change. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So your own natural thinking will go against a life of faith. You have to submit your natural thinking to God's thinking. If you just follow your feelings, then you'll be all over the place spiritually. And perhaps you know some Christians like that. There wouldn't be any in this church, but you know, some Christians who are up one minute, down the next, up and down. I call them yo-yo Christians. They're forever going up and down. You know, one minute, oh, God is wonderful, life is great. And then, oh, I don't know if God loves me, I don't know what's happening. Up and down, up and down. Now, God wants us to be consistent. Because it doesn't matter what happens, we trust Him. We trust His Word. We know that His Word is true. We know that if we trust Him, He will take us through whatever it is we have to experience and go through. See, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. That means great trouble. That's the one scripture everybody believes. But then He says, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. And what does it say? God always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. That's that kind of life. Now, because our faith might not be perfect, because the scripture says Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, which means that our faith still needs to be perfected. Anybody need their faith perfected? Okay. That means instead of just going like that, we might go a little bit wobbly. But we don't go yo-yoing. Mm-hmm. We might just go, oh, but He will keep us, bring us back. So we don't trust in our reason. We don't trust in our feelings, nor do we trust in the devil. Now you say, oh, of course not. I would never believe in the devil. Well, if you're not careful, you might believe in what the devil says. Because you see, he's the accuser of the brethren. He could say to you, you're no good. And you could say, I don't feel I'm any good. You've just listened to the devil. And actually spoken the accusation that has come from the enemy. You say, I'm a failure. You just listen to the enemy. Jesus Christ does not give birth to failures. He gives birth to children of God. Children of God aren't failures. Now, we can fail, but that doesn't make us failures because we're always forgiven for our failings. Isn't that right? Do you remember Peter? He was the one who first of the disciples to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they trotted out all the current theories. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, you are Messiah, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, well done, Peter, that revelation has come from your Father in heaven. And then Jesus, now they knew who he was, Jesus began to tell them that he was going to suffer, he was going to be crucified, rise from the dead, and that those who followed him would have to deny themselves, and boom, boom, boom. And Peter listens to all this, and that doesn't fit in with his reason, with what he feels that the Messiah should be doing. His reason tells him, no, the Messiah is going to come and in glory and as the king, and he's going to overcome, he's going to kick the Romans out, and so he takes Jesus aside. Now, he's just acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, right? And he takes Jesus aside, and he says, not so, Lord. Why? Because he's been listening to his own reason and his own feelings. And Jesus looks him in the eye, and he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're on the side of man, not of God. One moment. Peter was the mouthpiece of God. Yeah, it's the Father in heaven. Next moment, Jesus is saying to him, you become the mouthpiece of Satan. Now, of course, Peter didn't intend to do that. Just like you would not intend ever to do that. But when we give expression to whatever is a denial of God's word, that is actually what we're doing. So God wants our thinking to come in line with his thinking. That's why during these 28 days, as a church, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. See, we need to be reading the Word of God every day, not as a duty, but because when you read the Word of God, you get in line with the thinking of God. You never see me preaching from notes. Sometimes I might just have a list of scriptures, but you never see me preaching from notes. But before I preach, I'm into the Word of God. And sometimes I'll just sit before a meeting and I'm reading the Word. I might not be reading the scriptures that I'm going to preach from. What I'm reading might have nothing to do with what the message is going to be, but I'm reading the Word. Why? Because while I'm reading the Word, my mind is coming into line with God's mind. My thinking is coming into line with God's thinking. And when I preach, my mind needs to be totally in line with what God is thinking and what he was wanting to say. But you see, you don't have to be a preacher for that. If you begin the day by reading some scripture, not just as a sense of duty, but to say, today, I want my thinking to be in line with God's thinking. And faith comes from hearing. Today, I want to live by faith, so I want to hear what God is saying. And it's a good idea to have a, you know, a paper and pen, or to have an exercise book that you can write in every day. And just say what God is speaking to you through the word that you are reading, your prayer journal. What you write won't be scripture, but it will be a kind of prophetic statement. God speaking to your heart by the Holy Spirit. I've done this, I don't know, for 40, 50 years. I don't know how many dozens of exercise books I've filled, but and I go back over about once a week. I go back over what God has said, because I need to be reminded. And sometimes I see, well, God said the same thing to me three times in a week. Why did he need to do that? Because I didn't do it the first time. I heard it, even wrote it down. But faith is hearing, believing, speaking, and doing. And so I hadn't got to the doing of it. And God, you see, he doesn't shout at us. He doesn't. The devil is a nagger, worse than a nagging wife. Well, the scripture talks about nagging wives. It says it's better to live on the corner of a roof than to live with a nagging wife. But, I mean, it doesn't say anything about nagging husbands. I'm sorry about that, but there's nothing in the scripture about a nagging husband. But the devil is far worse than a nagging wife. He nags away all the time because he wants to distract you from the truth. He just keeps speaking. If there's something that keeps on at you, boom, 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 that's never the Holy Spirit, that's the enemy. The Holy Spirit is the still, small voice of God. He just gently reminds you. And then he'll remind you again if you need that, but he'll never nag you. The devil, when he makes you feel bad, but what God says is always for your good. Huh? So, we do not believe in the God of reason. We do not believe in the God of emotion. We do not believe in the devil as our God. We must believe that he is who he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He is the God who loves us. He is the God who is truthful. He is the God who is faithful. He is the God who always fulfills whatever we believe. Did you know that what happens to you is the fruit of what you believe? How many times did Jesus say to people, according to your faith, it will be done to you? Mm-hmm. And what does the Bible say? You reap what you sow. Mm. Sometimes when negative things happen to us, you know, we can get all hoity-toity about it, but we need to stop and say, Lord, is this happening because I've sown something negative and now I'm reaping the negative back? Hello? Because you reap what you sow. If you sow what is good, you're going to reap what is good. But if you sow what is bad, you'll reap what is bad. You see, just as the sower goes forth to sow the seed of God's word, so you sow seeds every time you speak. Your words are seeds. You can sow good seeds. You can sow weeds. And if your gardening experience is like mine, it's easier to sow weeds than to sow a good seed. It's much easier to be negative than positive. We live in a very negative world where people are saying negative things all around. Now, one of the things I like to do, go to the supermarket, to say something positive to the person at the checkout. Because they have so many negative things said to them all during the day that they really perk up when you say something positive.
It's true.
We live in a negative world. And if we're not careful, just to be sort of acceptable to other people, we can join in the negativity. How are you today? Not too bad. That's a typical one, isn't it? I mean, that's not very positive, is it? Not too bad. Well, that means I expect to be bad, but at least today I'm not too bad. But you see, what the scripture says is your words. Jesus says your words come from your heart. Your words actually show what is in your heart. They express your heart attitude. So we want to be positive. So words of positive truth, positive life, of joy, of peace, of love.
Yes.
Not negativity. Just consider for a moment. Do you like to be with judgmental, critical, negative people? Of course you don't, because you feel you're always being judged when you're with people like that. Don't you respond much more to encouragement? People that build you up? Say good things? Yeah? Well, if you want to be on the receiving end of encouragement, not criticism, understand that's true of everybody else. So, a faith people are an encouraging people. We are sowing good seeds, seeds of faith, seeds of love, seeds of encouragement, not negative, judgmental. Seeds, not seeds of offense.
You hurt me.
Well, forgive me then. And then you won't feel hurt anymore. It's as simple as that. Once you've forgiven someone, you're never hurt by what they've done. That's why Jesus says you must always forgive. And then your Father will always forgive you. And people say, oh, it's not always easy. Oh, no, it's a cop-out. Listen, nobody can make you say anything you don't choose to say. See, faith is a choice. Faith is making the right choice. I choose to believe what God says, not my own thoughts. I choose to believe what God says, not the way I feel. I choose to believe God says, not what Satan says. I choose to believe what God says, not what other negative people around me are saying. Simply a choice. So I have to say no if my thoughts are against God's thoughts. I have to say no to my feelings. Ah, I'm not going that way. Ah. Take the shield of faith. I have to say no to all those fiery darts the enemy throws me. I have to say no when people are being critical and negative. Then, well, I'm not going along with that. That's why you never listen to gossip. And you certainly never indulge in gossip, because all gossip is negative. That's why you don't want to watch soaps, do you? Because they're just full of negatives and arguments. People say that's what real life is like. No, it's not. That's what the world is like. Real life is what Jesus is talking about. Real life is the life of the kingdom. We don't have to watch sin as entertainment. Hello? Much better to watch Arsenal play. Even. You can even watch the test matches now, because they are positive. Really, really positive, unless you're South African, in which case we pray for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you're going to be like Enoch. I'm going to please the Lord.
Yes.
And what pleases the Lord is faith.
Amen.
So, what's your confession about yourself? What do you say about yourself? I am a faith person. You know, you're not going to say, find this faith difficult. No, 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 no. You've only chosen to believe that. But now you're choosing to believe, now I am a faith person. I'm going to feed this year on God's word, because by hearing that word, faith rises up within me. I'm going to trust in what Jesus promises, not in what the devil says. I'm going to realize that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So when I believe his thoughts, he's going to raise me up higher than when I believe my own thoughts. And my emotions are going to learn to come in line with the truth. And they are not going to dictate what I do, the way I react. No, no, no. I'm going to learn to react in love, in mercy, in forgiveness, with grace, not according to how I feel if something negative happens. So, in other words, this year, you're going to be like Enoch.
Yes.
You might not get raptured, but you will live to please the Lord. And every day, that's your aim. Be a good thing to do, wouldn't it, at the beginning of the day? Lord, today I want to live to please you. Now, I'm going to finish with a statement that God reminded me of this morning when I was praying. Because he said, this is the basic problem with his church everywhere. I wonder what you think that is. What God considers the basic problem with his church. Oh, it's even deeper than that, actually, because disunity is just a symptom of this. He says that the greatest problem is that most believers think I exist for them, whereas the truth is they exist for me. He paid the price for us that we might belong to him. And you see, if we live for him, we live to please him. God does not exist to please you. You exist to please him. God did not save you to please you. He saved you so that you can live a life to please him. Now, of course, what we discover from experience is the more we please him, the more he pleases us, because we reap what we have sown. Shall we all stand? Hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy?
Yes.
Right, let's just close our eyes. Not because it's a holy thing to do, but to stop us getting distracted, just to focus. I want you to just focus on Jesus in whatever way you can do that. He's not a man any longer. He's the Lord of glory. You're standing before the throne of God now. And the scripture says that that is the throne of grace. And there we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Hallelujah. Now, talk to Jesus. Say to him, Lord, this year I want to be like Enoch. I want to live to please you. Thank you that you have saved me. Thank you that you have made me righteous and totally acceptable in your sight. And thank you that your word says the righteous will live by faith. So I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit living in me. Thank you that he will encourage me to live by faith because he is the Spirit of faith. And the word says that by this Spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. So tell the Lord that this year you're going to be faithful in feeding on his word, not as a sense of duty, but because you want to be a man or woman of faith. And you're going to believe his thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. You're going to believe what he says rather than your own opinions and your own ideas, your own reason. Reason, the proper use of reason, is to take what God says and then to translate it into action. We need that gift of reason, but we need to use it in the right way, not the wrong way. Thank God that you're not going to live by your feelings, but you're going to live by faith. And as you live by faith, your feelings will come in line with the truth. Praise God. And you know, when your feelings come in line with the truth, your body also comes in line with the truth. That affects you physically. When your thinking is right and your feelings come in line, then the body also comes in line. So thank the Lord for all the healing that is going to take place in your life during the course of this year. Praise you, Lord. Now thank him that he's given you the shield of faith.
Yes.
The shield of what? It's the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Say, Lord, I thank you that I don't have to believe any of the devil's lies. I don't have to believe any of his deception. I don't have to believe any of his accusations, any of those thoughts that he fires at me to try to make me feel negative, like to make me feel nothing and just a failure. I rebuke all of those things in the name of Jesus. I said, that's not the truth about me. The truth is I'm a child of God. The truth is I'm totally loved by God. The truth is that he seeks my highest good every day. The truth is that he has made me a co-heir with Christ. The truth is he wants me to inherit along with Jesus everything that he has, that he never wants to withhold from me. He wants to give and give and give by his grace. So I praise you, Lord, that faith in your grace releases the life of Jesus into my life every day.
Amen.
So I choose to put my faith in your grace. Grace is God giving everything to those who deserve nothing. So praise God, I qualify for grace because I know I deserve nothing. But God wants me to have everything, every spiritual blessing. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now just pray too before we finish. Lord, I want to be a positive person. I want to be a positive person this year. Everywhere I go, I want to sow what is positive. I don't want to sow weeds, criticism and judgment and negativity. I want my mouth to be what the scripture calls a fountain of life. Lord, I want life and love and power to flow out of my mouth. I want to encourage and build up. When necessary, I want to forgive and be merciful and be full of loving kindness and compassion and express all these things with my mouth. And Lord, I want to do what is positive. I want to love and give and bless and serve. And I thank you, Lord, that you do not exist for me, but I exist for you. To please you, to glorify you, to be faithful to you, and to inherit all the glory of your eternal kingdom. So I praise you and I bless you. Now, Lord, thank you that none of this is going to happen just by my effort, but because I trust in your Holy Spirit to enable all this to work out in my life. This is going to be a good year.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just turn to all those around you and say again, this year, I'm going to be, well, you don't have to say like Enoch, do you? I'm going to live to please the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.